The Right Gear, Episode 19, a conversation with Cameron Hurley, geek feminist revolutionary. Hello, and welcome to The Right Gear on Hologram Radio, a podcast for writers that's all about the digital and analog tools we use to write. From computers and apps to pens and journals, we explore them all. I'm your host, Kay Tempest Bradford, science fiction and fantasy author, freelance technology journalist, media critic, and lover of gel pens. This week, I talked to speculative fiction writer Cameron Hurley, author of God's War, The Mirror Empire, and, as of a few weeks ago, The Geek Feminist Revolution. That last book isn't fiction. It's a collection of essays and blog posts about being a writer engaged in activism, especially when that activism is thrust upon you by virtue of your identity. Let me read a very smart quote from the back of the book. This is an essential book for working and aspiring authors. It's part writing advice, part call to revolution, part manual for how to be a writer and an activist and a loudmouth even when, especially when, you're not a straight white cisgender man. Hurley's essays are a beacon, signaling to writers in the trenches that they're not alone and they're not imagining how hard it is to push against the mainstream or how the culture shoves back 10 times harder. Such wise words. I hung out with Cameron at the Nebula Awards weekend where we talked about her writing gear and how she manages the other half of her pro-author life, the blogging and the social media-ing. What is your primary writing device? Like, where do you start?
I generally start writing on my laptop. So I've been using that to pretty good effect because there's fewer distractions. I can't keep like a bunch of junk on it and do a bunch of things at once. It's actually very good for me. But sometimes I get stuck. So, you know, when I get stuck, I will actually sit down and go, hey, this looks too permanent, right? A lot of times I'll be like, hey, this looks so permanent on the laptop. And I want to allow myself to write junk. And so I will sit down and I'll be like, okay, let's take an old school, you know, pen and paper and I will just write. I'll just like free write and just let myself write junk, which goes back to kind of my old days of writing. You know, when I was a kid, instead of actually like was paying attention in class, I would just write stories in class and pretend I was taking notes. So I think that brings back some of that energy to it. So yeah, that's all I do.
While I was talking to Cameron about her laptop, she initially identified it as a Chromebook. But then she started talking about the color.
It was supposed to be orchid, okay? It was supposed to be purple. Mm-hmm. It was purple in the photos. It was pink. It came and I have a bright pink laptop. Everyone sees it like, Cameron Hurley has a pink laptop. Like, I know. When you open it up, then you see some of the purple gradient in the inside.
But yes, you're right. The pink one is pink. It's pink. Not orchid. It's pink. It's pink or it's blue.
Yeah.
And I realized that she actually had an HP Stream 11 and not a Chromebook, which is understandable. HP markets them as Chromebook-like, as I've mentioned before. It's also one of the small and light laptops I call out in episode 11 as being a good option for people who have a limited budget, as Hurley did when she bought it.
It was at the time where, you know, between royalty checks, I didn't have a lot of money. I really needed something. And it was like, you know, hey, for, you know, $100, $200, you know, here you go. It only syncs, you know, certain files on my Dropbox. Usually, you know, my short stories and then whatever novel, you know, file I'm working on. And so that's, you know, all that it carries. Because again, it's all about completely distraction free. It's like, I might be able to, you know, stream some music. I can't do, you can't play games. You can't really do anything.
So. All other book games.
Yeah.
You block those.
Yes, exactly. So I just use Microsoft Word. I think I have OpenOffice. Mm-hmm. So I'll use OpenOffice. Just the one program.
What I had liked about the HP Stream when I tested it is that, yeah, it does run Microsoft Word fairly well. And so you don't have like a problem with like super lagginess or anything along those lines.
Yeah. Again, it's just a matter of, you can't like have a bunch of programs, you know, running. Running at once. So,
And do you like the keyboard on it?
Do you have the 13 or the 11?
I
think I have the 11. Okay. So it's a little small, but I actually am pretty comfortable with the keyboard, which I always, that was why I had chosen it, because of course I go to the store and you try it out and then you buy it online for cheaper. And yeah, that was always the first thing, is like, hey, do I feel comfortable typing? Because I'm just spending a lot of time doing that. So yeah, I like the keyboard.
You write whole novels in Microsoft Word, because I've heard tell people saying, this Microsoft Word is terrible for the whole novel, and that's why I have Scrivener or whatever.
There are Scrivener people, that's why. The Scrivener cult. The cult of Scrivener.
Yes. Well, tell me about your feelings about Scrivener.
So, I have tried to use Scrivener. You know, I don't know what it is. I'm like, am I old? Is it? I don't know what it is. I think it's just that my process is weird. I write things out of order, which you think would be great for Scrivener. But, you know, I'll write a paragraph, and then I'll write it. And the way it breaks things up into sections just does not work with my, how I work. I don't know. I can't explain it. And then the whole idea where then you have to compress it, you know, put it all together to print it, and then you edit it, and then you go back in, and then you, it just does not work the way that my brain works, when I'm writing, and because I write out order, and I put in different things, and I'll have notes and bits of dialogue, and I don't know. I can't explain why. It seems like it would be perfect, but for me, I love having it all in a file, so I can go, you know, scroll up, oh, take this and put it here. And if for some reason moving the little tab things around and files around, it's just not the same. So I love Microsoft Word. I really, you know, don't have any complaints about it, except that, again, the one time I actually did use Scrivener was for, I think, the Mirror Empire, my fantasy novel, because a lot of things, actually, it was Empire, I think it was the second one, because I had a bunch of different, I had a really crazy timelines between all the characters, and I needed to be able to move those chapters around to figure out exactly where they all fell. And because I had already created those chapters, they were already existing, I would just cut and paste them into little sections in Scrivener and then move them around. And that was very helpful. Just to get to a certain point, and then I had to compile it all and then put it back in Word and then edit from there. But that was like the only time, that was like the most that I had ever used it, because it just, I don't know. To me, it's so funny. I love to hear from people why it works for them and why it doesn't, because there's so many of us who do try it and are just, I've tried it several times. It's not clicking for some reason with our processes. Whereas other people are just like, I can't write without it now. It's amazing. So.
You have to pick the tool that works for you.
Totally. No, absolutely. Yeah. And it's good to try it. Yeah. Right? You got to try. That's something I learn a lot, you know, especially my day job. Like, I do social media. So it's like, oh, I'm on Snapchat now. Like, you have to do all these things. And sometimes immediately you hate it, but you have to give yourself a few times. Like, okay, is it just that it's new, or is it that, no, really, this doesn't work for my process? So, yeah.
I remember the dark days. When there was no Scrivener for Windows. And we were all like, what is the alternative? And we would try all these horrible things. And then you're like, there is no thing that's just like Scrivener.
Yeah.
How can I live without it? And then you're like, I can't write my novel because there's no Scrivener for Windows. And so therefore...
How did anyone write a novel before Scrivener?
Anyone write this novel? So you are also a very prolific blogger. Did you set up your own website, or did you have somebody set up your website for you?
I first started in 2004, so I was on Blogger initially. And then I ported the Blogger over into my own WordPress site, which I set up initially by myself. Then I had a friend who I knew who kind of went in and he reskinned everything and made it all nice or nicer. And then I had to kind of teach myself. I taught myself a lot of WordPress and did a lot of things myself and applied a new theme. And I was like, this is great. And I think that was up until this year, year actually. And then I had someone else finally, I could afford to have someone else do it. And it's beautiful, right? It's great now. It's really easy to read. It's, you know, it looks like it's a website from 2016 as opposed to 2006, which my other one's looking like. So, yeah, so I started, which, again, it was great for me just as far as, like, now I know WordPress and there are, like, basic HTML things that I can do, and I feel fairly confident in using WordPress. But, yeah, now it's just, like, and I'm just, because I'm so busy. It's, like, now I'm so busy that I'm just, like, it's worth it to me to pay somebody to, you know, make it beautiful. So.
What's your process when you're writing a blog post? Do you write directly into WordPress, or do you write in, like, say, Word or something?
Oh, I write in Word. Press? Yeah, isn't that funny? I write in Word and I copy and paste it into WordPress, which, you know, again, is always funky with, like, formatting and stuff. But it's just so much more natural for me to write in Word that it is actually more difficult. Isn't that weird? It's weird, but it's more difficult for me to actually write directly in WordPress.
Plus, I've lost many things writing directly in WordPress. And I'm like, never again.
I know. And a lot of times I'll save them right in Word and just plunk them somewhere in case something catastrophic happens. I mean, now everything's backed up, but you never know. Yeah, like some glitchy, like, oh, sorry, it's all gone. Yeah. Save. Yeah.
So before you had somebody else doing your website, was it pretty easy to keep up not only like maintaining the blog, but just updating everything about your author life on your website because you had WordPress?
It was. Yeah. I love WordPress. I use it in my day job as well. We make a bunch of websites and we use WordPress, and I manage a bunch of other people's blogs and write content for them. And it's just, it's very intuitive to me. And I find it kind of one of the easy, certainly the easiest back end like thing that I've done as far as websites and stuff go. Very easy for content management. So,
Do you have an opinion on whether if an author is just starting out making their website and maybe they don't even say have a book out yet, but they want to have a presence so they can establish that before things, if they should do self-hosted WordPress or if they should go to WordPress.com or?
It really depends. I bought a hosting through 1MM1 Internet because I knew that this was a long-term thing, right? I've been a blog. I did Blogger for a long time. I realized this is a format I really love. This is something that I'm going to upkeep. I'm willing to pay for the hosting package. I did just recently up it, actually. And it's just, again, it's a matter of how much, you know, how all in are you and how much is that worth to you? Sometimes you're just not at the point where, again, you're getting tons of traffic. It's just literally, it's like a business card, you know, for a lot of people. It's just, hey, it's a business card. I exist. Or, you know, agents or interested readers were like, oh, who is this person? That's a great story. So, yeah, so it really depends on. And again, if you're not putting out tons of content, you can just have a very basic website.
Other than writing, you have a huge social media presence because gotta these days.
Gotta hustle.
Do you have any particularly favorite tools that you use to deal with your social media stuff?
I use TweetDeck. I put it off for quite a long time. I would just use Twitter inside of the browser. But, you know, TweetDeck just became indispensable, like the more garbage ended up on Twitter. So I could, you know, the crazy politics and horrible things. And I just started muting a lot of keywords. And now that I could come back to Twitter, I was having to take breaks. And I was just like, it's exhausting me. And it's something I love. I love connecting with other writers. I love chatting and making jokes. And it was becoming not fun. And I was like, I really need to make this fun again. And so I just was really, you know, adamant about I'm going to, you know, I unfollowed tons of people and I muted tons of keywords and it's become a little bit easier. But yeah, I much prefer it. I have a client who prefers Hootsuite that I have to use to manage their stuff. And it's clunkier to me.
And do you do anything for Facebook or do you just only interface with Facebook?
All I have with Facebook is a fan page. I don't even have a personal page. I technically have a personal page, but I have no friends on it. No picture, anything. I got tired of Facebook for a similar reason that I almost abandoned Twitter. It was just hateful garbage. It was like, who are all these hateful people I went to high school with? And this is why I'm not really friends with them. And they post these hateful things. And some of them are your family, and you can't, you know, you're like, well, sorry, aunt and uncle so-and-so, but we're not friends anymore,
you
racist fool. So you have to, I was like, I'm just going to do a blanket thing where I'm just going to get rid of it. And then, so now I just have a fan page. And then I just post, you know, hey, there's, you know, this going on, or here's the blog post, or, and I'll interact with fans there.
Are there any other tools that you love? Like, do you appreciate the beauty of fine fountain pen and vellum paper?
The notebooks, if they're too nice, they're intimidating, right? Because then you're like, oh, I have to write something really good in this beautiful notebook. So there's a bunch of beautiful notebooks I have that I don't write in because I'd have to write a beautiful story, right? Like I told you, I was like, it has to just be a crappy notebook that I can just write crap in and I don't feel so bad. But I do, I think it's the G2 gel pens. I forget who they're out from. But yeah, just a nice basic black pen. I get a huge bunch of them and I use them, you know, for all of my writing. And notebooks, tiny notebooks from Staples. Staples has like these little notebooks and they're just the perfect size to like put in my purse. And I really like to have those for like, oh, I just came up with this thing and to write it down. Because I'm not an auditory person. I don't like listen to a lot of ebooks and things like that. So voice recording, like, oh, I had this idea and record it is not as... I don't like that as much. So
thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
You should check out Cameron Hurley's website, CameronHurley.com, and the blog therein, as it is a fountain of amazing advice and real talk for writers at every stage of their writing career. And while you're there, you should check out Cameron's books, nonfiction and fiction, as they're all awesome. You can find links to the site in the show notes. You'll also find a link to our new blog over at Medium. Yes, there is finally a blog. You'll find reviews and review roundups, discussion about gear, and open threads for geeking out about writing tools. Drop by, read, and comment. You'll always be able to find the latest episodes at www.therightgear.com, and that is where you can go to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcatcher via the RSS feed. Do that, and you won't miss out on upcoming episodes. Before I sign off, I want to give a shout out to my patrons on Patreon. Y'all make this podcast possible, and I love you for it. Until next time, I'm Kate Thomas Bradford, and I challenge you to tweet your love for Scrivener at Cameron Hurley. I know she'll appreciate it. The Right Gear podcast on Hologram Radio is written and edited by yours truly and produced by head hologram Alex Knight. Our logo was created by Cosper Ashley Emma and made colorful by hologram Michael Norton. Our theme music, Kill Your Darlings, was composed by Steve Combs.